I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. It is not a victory Monday. It's an anger and upset. I say that as I laugh maniacally. Sideshow Bob would be proud. It's today's rough. I mean, this is episode 1244. I want to talk about grades. Who played well? Because there were some good. There was a lot of good. I want to talk bad. I want to get through a couple emails and DMs and stuff that has been shared with me recently and answer some of those topics. I want to talk moving forward. There's a lot to dive into. Finished first half offensive breakdown. You know, the play-by-play all 22 coaches tape. That's up on the49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. And, man, I really thought it was going to be better. Like, what's the axiom, right? It's never as good or as bad as you think it's gonna be. It was worse. The tape was really bad offensively first half, right? Small. It's 1/5 of the whole thing, but that's what we're going to talk about. Some of the things that popped up, it just looked really, really bad. Thank you to all the hashtag CCs. Appreciate you guys. What's up, Mike? Alejandro, appreciate you guys subscribing, support to the channel. Yeah, Chris, here to recover from a beating. And the good news is, like, recovery, for us, it's easy. We're fans. And I'm still pissed. Like, I'm pissed. I ain't going to lie. But, like, the hole that the 49ers are in, it's deep. It's not that deep. They're still favored to win the division. That's crazy to me. I was curious. It was one of the things I checked this morning. For the first time this season, it's plus money. So again, you better people, if you think the 49ers are going to win the division, the NFC West, it's plus. So like you bet, like, I have pulled it up on here. I just had it. You bet 10, you win 13. And the first time this year, plus money on betting the 49ers to win the division. First time. So, hey, an opportunity. If you think Seattle's going to win it, you can go, they're plus money as well. We're still favored over Seattle, but now it's getting closer. No doubt about that. Man, it's been a minute. What's up, Jason? Glad to see you here. You got the North Forney. I like that right there. Misery Monday, Thomas. I got one of your questions in here that I want to talk about. Shane, my man from the Arizona 49ers Empire, says, John, I'm so freaking pissed right now. Yeah, but the rule is you take 24 hours, you watch the tape, you break it down, And I remember like there were times where it's just like, oh, you are just dreading going over that tape with the team because you as a coach maybe didn't do as well as you wanted. Players didn't do as well as they wanted. You were taking advantage of it, a few different plays and whatever else. God, that feeling was rough. And I think Fred Warner, shout out to the great Juan Solis, got us these clips this morning. Late last night, I should say. Here's Fred Warner. There's two ways to respond to games like this. Here's what Fred had to say.
Yeah, my initial thought is we didn't play good enough to win. I really want to move on, look at the film hard. And you can do one of two things. Like you can sulk in defeat, or you can see what the reality is, fix it, move on, and get ready to win a game next week. Like, you know, there's so many things that are going to be said, obviously, about where we're at and that team. And at the end of the day, like, that's not going to help us move forward. That's not going to help us for next week. We got to just look at the reality of what it is, flush it, move on, you know, and win a game next week.
Yeah, and Logan, he said, you know, watching the tape of the game made me even more mad. There were so many opportunities that were just like wide open misses. And it wasn't just one player. I do think Brock played awful. I think it was his worst game yet as a pro. Definitely, he wasn't the only one that had a bad game. Several misreads, you know, vision-wise from Jordan Mason. Jake Brindle, all-time watcher. He had a bad game. Ayuk with the drop, you know, that and one of the most pivotal game-changing plays. That was huge. Then the injury. Debo, sick. We talked about that yesterday. Like, man, so many, just from an offensive standpoint, that impacted the game negatively. The holding calls that were so close to maybe not being holding calls, but still played such a huge impact whenever we did have big runs. It was just bad on bad on bad on bad. And probably my number one take is, like, again, I go back to this all the time, complimentary football. Build off each other's successes, right? Offense does well. Defense, step up, help your offense. Special teams, give them the hidden yardage. Make it easier drives for the offense, harder drives for the opposing offense. These things, right? That's complimentary football. Losing football is whenever negatives pile on top of negatives. And whenever you finally do get a positive, Brock Purdy throws a dot on third down on an important play, and then a guy drops it. You know, that's a game-changing moment, but our negatives are building off of other negatives. Brock had three horrible plays in a row, one interception, one almost interception, one sack, one throwaway. Then he has a good play, and then Ayuk drops it. Just killer, right? And then special, like, defense gets a special turnover. You turn Patrick Mahomes over. You start with the ball at the positive 45-yard line. One play interception drive. And so, instead of complimenting each other in a positive way, you're doing the exact opposite. Oh, defense, you made a positive play. We're going to negate that. Hey, special teams, you made a positive play. We're going to negate that. Hey, offense, you made a positive play. Defense, we're going to negate that. And it was just like, whose turn is it to disappoint everybody else? And that's what it kept just coming across. It was just, David, he says, you know, the team just lacks that 5% fight, and it's showing. Everyone thought we would be better. Yeah, getting rid of Wilkes. We're going to talk about Wilkes. I got some stats on Wilkes now. We're talking Wilkes. Everybody blamed Wilkes. Nope. Richard, it's time to start thinking Shanahan's seat might be hot. He's a good play caller. Nah, I don't think so. I disagree with that. And, like, I'll say this. Dude schemed up two wide-open touchdowns. Wide-open touchdown to George Kittle down the sideline. Brock Purdy underthrew it. Still big play. That was a wide-open scheme play. Pivotal moment right before the half. Walk-in touchdown. Schemed open Jacob Cowing. Wide-open. Burnt his dude by 12 yards. Wide-open touchdown play. Brock underthrew it. Had pressure on that one, so like you could kind of negate that. Still completed big play. I think the play calls were there. Now, I understand the seat is hot, but like 49ers, like you were just in the Super Bowl. And I know we're spoiled. And Jerry Rice's quote, like where he talked about, man, if that would have happened when we were playing for the 49ers, we've been throwing punches on the sideline. I like that. I do miss the fight. But like, no, you got to look at the national landscape. The 49ers are in a better position than a lot of teams. You were just in the Super Bowl. You've been out three of four NFC championships. You're not firing the coach. Seat's not hot. special teams coach should be fired. Definitely some moves should be made, but nah, it's Kyle. It's what it is. Biggie, hashtag CC, we can't beat them. We just can't. It's not there. It's not there. Allen, Brindle, McKivitz, all receivers except Cowing, who was all right, and Brock were all terrible yesterday. Allen, I agree with you completely. Let's talk about the offensive grades. This is PFF. Number one offensive player, Jacob Cowing, just like you said, Allen. 86.5. Now, my issue is the 49ers had 63 snaps on offense. Healthy amount. 63. Jacob Cowing, your best player, played 12 snaps. Jacob Cowing played 12 snaps. Now, was Jacob Cowing perfect? No, he fell down once in the red zone. It would have been an interception if Brock threw it. Anyway, it was undercut. Brock just sailed it through the back of the end zone. But Jacob Cowing wasn't perfect either. He was our best player. He got 12 snaps. Ronnie Bell got 24. That's bullshit. Sorry. I said I wasn't going to cuss. I get on number 10. Urgh. And I get all mad. So shout out to Jacob Cowing first. George Kittle was amazing. 86.3. Most receiving yards this season. George Kittle was awesome. Banks. 79.3. He was third. Colton McKivitz was fourth. Did seem like his biggest issues were gigantic plays. Jordan Mason, fifth. Dominic Pooney, sixth. Those are our top six. Bottom, Isaac Arendo. Good gosh. That dude's got more fumbles than missed tackles forced this year. Isaac, I know everybody likes rookie running backs. I know that. Isaac Arendo's not good. He's not good. Got five snaps. Went out there, fumbled. They pulled him. He had a 31 grade. Hey, matches his number. 31, got a 31 grade. Isaac Grindel, I don't know what to do with him. I don't know. We need CMC back. Like, Grindo needs a lot of time, which is weird because running back's the easiest position to transition from the NFL, from college to the NFL. It's the easiest one. He's the oldest running back. He's 24 years old, and he's still not even close to ready. So I don't know. I'm not an Isaac Grindo guy. And every game I watch, everybody talks about that one run, and that one run was awesome, but he was untouched. It was blocked to perfection, and he still got caught from behind. I don't think he slid. Yeah, watch the tape. Anyway, Chris Conley, I thought had one of his worst games. Played 44 snaps. We needed him whenever Ayuk went down. A lot of bad routes. Was not good. And I love Chris Conley. Now, his run blocking, he had a 74.5. Second highest run blocking grade behind only Kittle. I thought that was important. But his routes, you can't just have wide receivers that block out there. That's Ronnie Bell and that's Chris Conley. That's an issue. Ayuk, 52.9 in his 25 snaps. He was not good. Lowest run block grade of the entire team. It has been that this entire season. He has not been the 11 that we thought he was, whatever we paid him. And the drop and the poor blocking, he's had a terrible, terrible. And that's before the injury. He was that bad anyway. And I hate to add insult to injury, but Brandon Ayuk sucked this year. And I don't care what anybody says. And I understand some people are going to be upset at me and don't talk bad about people that are injured. No. He sucked. He was awful. Continued to be awful. He had one good half. That was it. But he was really, really bad. He had a 52.9, lowest run blocking grade of any player that took an offensive snap. He was not good. Eric Saubert continues to be bad. Eric Saubert was really bad. Only 14 snaps. We need a tight end, too. Everybody, and so here's the question. Let's do this. Brian W., shout out to my man, emailed me. He asked me, are you in the camp that says the 49ers need to trade for a wide receiver to keep the Super Bowl window open? I don't care about that. Should we trade for a wide receiver? My first answer is no. I don't think so. You spent a first-round pick and a fourth-round pick this year on wide receivers. Maybe you trust them a little bit. Instead of having Cowing play 12 snaps, let the dude play. Every time we've seen Cowing suit up, he does well. Every single time. Ronnie Bell's never done well. Chris Conley, I like, but come on, man. Let's let these guys get some snaps. Now, Ricky Pearsall missed all of trading camp, and I think that's huge. But, like, we gotta fix that. Like, Ricky Pearsall was not good in tape, and he wasn't expected to be good on tape. He hadn't practiced, and it showed. Two different passes. Dude wasn't even looking for the ball. And so you've got to trust those guys. I do not think you need to trade for a wide receiver. Let your guys play. Debo's coming back if he feels well. If he feels well, whatever. Logan. Ricky Pearsall wasn't even looking for the ball. Yeah, he's got a lot to learn, man. But he hadn't played. That dude missed all of training camp. And that was before he got shot. Then he got shot. Now he's out there. He's in shape. And he even said, you know, I got a clip. Here we go. Let's do this. Let's listen to the man number 4, 1-4. One of the bright spots of yesterday. I think that's huge. And I think it's huge. Now, here was him talking about just overcoming the bullet wound and working through all that.
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest hurdle for me was just recovery from, you know, the wound. There was obviously a lot of scar tissue buildup in the area. And since it was in my chest, all in, like, under my armpit, and obviously it was through and through, so there was a buildup all the way from, you know, my chest to my back. So just working through that, making sure I'm getting that all worked on and getting that scar tissue out. And once I started feeling better range of motion and pain tolerance-wise, and, you know, that's when, you know, I was headed to the right direction to practice and train.
Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in over 30 states, including California, Florida, Georgia, and Texas? You sign up today and you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. All you do is pick two players, whether they're going to do more or less. It's easy. You think Justin Jefferson's going to get more than 83.5 yards this week? Let's say you just want to focus on 49ers. Brock Purdy, more or less 229.5 passing yards. Brandon Ayuk, he struggled, 64.5 receiving yards. If you think they're going to hit that, you just pick two. If you're right, you get paid. That simple. And so whatever it is you want, download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's promo code 49ers. So go check out Prize Picks. Run your game. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invest the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this, I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in, you pick your portfolio, it goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order. And so I really think, like, I'm excited about him. He's got a ways to go. You've got to develop chemistry, all those missed reps, but you got to put them out there. So we got to see it. Now, I want Juwan Jennings being the X. He should go to the Ayuk role. You put Debo in the Debo role, and then you put Cowan in the slot. That's what it should be. Pearsall should back up all three until he's on pace. Then he should take over the slot, or he should take over the X and kick Juwan Jennings back to the slot. I think that's what the plan should be. Is that what Kyle Shanahan's going to do? No, he's going to play Ricky Pearsall and Chris Conley. And I like Chris Conley, but no, we need weapons. Chris Conley's great. He's a perfect backup. So if the 49ers were going to trade for somebody, I want an outside wide receiver depth piece, like a swap a sixth round for a seventh round pick. I'm not no third rounder, none of that. No. We have so much invested in the wide receiver position. We have tools. Use the tools you got. Trade for like a DeAndre Hopkins or steroid boy, that what Charvarius Ward called, something along those lines. Somebody that can play on the outside that you're not overly stressed about, like a huge contract, whatever else. Just a vet that you can bring in that you can trust that can play outside. That's what I want. But I want these rookies getting the snaps. You drafted them. Put them out there. And I understand. Now, losing Ayuk, this is a separate situation. I don't think you got to trade for the answer. I think you drafted the answer. The answer is the call is coming from inside the house, Kyle. It's coming from inside the house. Answer the damn phone. It's your rookies. Now, the loss of Ayuk is gigantic. Here is George Kittle explaining what that is and what the Niners got to do.
Well, it sucks. You know, I love Brandon Ayuk, the energy that he brings, what he can do on the football field, routes, catching the ball. Like, he's an incredible football player. So I think Kyle's going to scheme some stuff up. The nice thing is we still have Juwan Jennings, me, you, Juice, Debo. Like, we still have guys all over our roster that can make plays. And, you know, Jake ran an awesome curl pump today. Like, he's going to continue to get reps and be forced to grow up. Same with Ricky. They're going to be forced to grow up and mature really, really fast. And, you know, it's kind of on us as veterans in the system to help them along and make sure that they are ready to, you know, play in these football games. But, yeah, I mean, you can't really replace one, in my opinion, one of the best receivers in the NFL.
And that's what we paid. You paid for a best wide receiver in the NFL. He hasn't been that one game this year, right? So the loss is huge, but I think we're already experiencing the loss. And I understand this is going to upset some people, but this is just my take. And it's okay to disagree. It's okay to disagree. That's totally cool. Like, disagree with me, that's cool. You can cuss my grandparents if it makes you feel better. That's okay. The loss of the top wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, is already being felt. We've already felt it. That's what's happened all year. Never had one receiving touchdown this year. He had the lowest percentage drop of his entire career by double-digit points. He had his lowest yards per catch of his NFL career by almost a full 10 yards. He hasn't been him. So to lose a top wide receiver, we already did. Ayuk was never him this year. We never saw that in 2024, ever. Somebody could disagree with me. That's cool. You already lost that. Now, Ayuk maybe would have turned into that in every single game. We're like, oh, he'll catch up. He'll get back up to speed. Now he's not. He's done for the year, and that sucks. And I hope, you know, you're looking at 9 months with the ACL. Hopefully the surgery goes well. He gets to rehab. That puts him at a June, July clear date. He gets to go through training camp. And then next year, you get the 11 back that we know and love. Not this 11. That was an imposter. That wasn't the same thing. I don't think we lost a lot. Not this year. Obviously, the team's better with them than it is without them. But Rick right here, Ayuk didn't fill in his own shoes. He didn't. He never did. And so, yeah, we'll see. And Pearsall, not him, we don't know. I mean, he looked good out there against man coverage. He's just got to work on the timing. And let's be honest, Brock Purdy's timing with every single wide receiver yesterday was off. It was bad. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, I used stuff for the year. So I don't think that you should go trade for somebody personally. But it was bad. It was bad. Roberto right here, John, what are the Niners going to do at wide receiver? They are beyond thin. I don't think they are that thin. Juwan Jennings is your best wide receiver this year. Debo, whenever he's out there, is great. Cowan showed us promise. Pearsall, man, he got like 44 snaps. Ricky Pearsall, he played 48 out of 63 snaps, was the 10th highest rated player, had a 58 grade. Not bad. He had a higher blocking grade than Ayuk. He had a pass blocking grade. He was pass blocked on one play. I don't know what that's about. Anyway, like, there's stuff to work with. I'm more, how do I say this? After yesterday's game, which wasn't like stellar, he had like two catches, whatever else, I have more confidence in Pearsall than I did before the game. I really do. I thought he looked the part on tape, created separation versus man against one of the better man defenses. So I think we're fine. Ronnie Bell probably going to stay on this damn roster. I would trade for a depth piece to replace Ronnie Bell, personally. That's what I would do. And that's okay. That's okay. Real quick, Carlos, my man, he says, John, I'm upset because we was a team without heart. That's something that I didn't expect. Man, we did not have it. And it's not the first, second, or third. It's the third time we've seen it this year where you're this tough battle and the other team wants it more. Seattle, it felt that way, but you overcame it. You showed heart against your division opponent on the road. Didn't show it against Arizona. Didn't show it against the Rams. Sure as hell didn't show it against the Chiefs. And probably my favorite thing that Shanahan said, instead of like coach speak and all that stuff, was this.
Say less today. There's no way to sugarcoat that. We got our ass kicked today. Lots of reasons for it, but those are things that they don't need to sit and think about today. We'll address all those tomorrow. We'll get together. We'll go through the truth of the whole tape and, you know, be hard on each other and find a way to put it to bed so we can come out here and make sure we put our best foot forward and find a way to get a win versus Dallas.
And that's what you got to do. You got to put it to bed and move forward, especially like as a team, as a coach and all that stuff. But here's what I'll say. Okay. Here's probably my biggest issue. If we look at the red zone, and I think this kind of permeates a little bit of what Carlos, you're saying, talking about heart, talking about when the plays matter. Like everybody talks like football is a game of inches, right? Think about the longest yard and like, oh, that speech, that halftime speech. Like, who are you when the going gets tough? Whenever everything's on the line and what happens on this one play matters. Well, the most important time of any single game is when teams are in the red zone. When teams are in the red zone, about to score, inside the 20. That's the biggest time of the year. Well, let's look at it. The 49ers offense inside the red zone are the 27th out of 32 teams. That's bottom five. I think it's bottom six, technically. 32, 31, 30, 29, 28. Yeah, we're sixth worst. 49ers defense in the red zone, 23 out of 32. That's bottom 10. So we're bottom six at offense in the red zone. We're bottom 10. Whenever it's time, we can't do it. And we can talk about no Greenlaw. We can talk about no CMC. I'm wearing a CMC shirt today. My angry runs. I miss CMC. But that's not enough. That's not enough. That's a bad football team to lose those two metrics. And I'll say this, okay? Let's go back to Kyle and listen to him talk about the defense gave us a chance, but...
I mean, I thought the defense today compared to everything else gave us a chance. You know, I thought they settled them down. But, you know, four or five in the red zone was the biggest thing. I mean, they scored pretty much every time they got down there. Mahomes, you know, just keeping plays alive with his legs. That 30-so scramble that he did. And then extended it by the sidelines, which we see over and over. And everyone thinks they're ready for it, but then he gets another team again with it. So hats off to him. He's an unbelievable player. We didn't play good as a team today.
So now you look at, okay, red zone, most important part of the game. We sucked at it. Okay, defensively, we sucked at it. Offensively, we sucked at it. We were terrible. Turnovers in the red zone, not only not getting any points, turnover in the red zone. Are you kidding me? Now you look at the second important part of the game, whatever pressure's up, that's fourth quarter. That's fourth quarter. Fourth quarter scoring. How many points do you get in the fourth quarter? Offense, 20th out of 32. offensive genius, offensive power, firepower out the wazoo, whatever else. We're 20th out of 32 teams, bottom half of the league. Defensively, we're 26th. We're a bottom 10. We're bottom 7. Defense and fourth quarter scoring. Look at this, Jim. Do you guys know last year that defensive coordinator that everybody hated, Steve Wilks? Thank you, Jim. Wilks was much better. For the entire season of 2013, the NFL, the 49ers ranked first, best in the NFL in fourth quarter scoring. They did in the playoffs as well. Did not in the Super Bowl. Best in the NFL. You went from best in the NFL to 26th out of 32 teams. That is a Nick Sorensen stat. Because he's so damn predictable, he doesn't make adjustments, and he runs man on every damn third down ever. Ever. When it matters, who are you? When the pressure is up, who are you? Right? Why does everybody love Michael Jordan? Like, Michael Jordan's, the greatest, like, I don't know. I think he's the best ever, like, athlete. I think he's the best. Now, I'm biased, you know, growing up in the 90s and whatever else. But whenever it came down to the moment of the game's on the line, playoffs, regular season, didn't matter. Everybody knew. It goes through Jordan. Now, they even got a championship kicking at Steve Kerr. That was awesome because everybody focused on Jordan. Like, Jordan. Because whenever the game showed up, everybody knew this guy wants it. I don't know who our guy is, offensively or defensively, because when the pressure's up, everybody cowers. There ain't nobody saying, get me the damn ball. Y'all remember Debo like 5 years ago? Get me the damn ball, Kyle. Give me the ball against the Cowboys. We got Cowboys this week. Give the ball. He scores a touchdown, one play touchdown drive. Like, who's that now? Maybe CMC is on the sideline. Like, who are you? Well, Mahomes is the most guy that's like that in the NFL today. And he sure as hell showed us, man. He freaking ran through Malik Mustafa's face, soul, grandparents, everybody, disrespected that whole family. And shout out to Malik. He's taking it like a champ. He's saying, like, you know, it's what it is. 6-0, got a hell of a ring to it. Jordan's the GOAT. Yeah, it's not even close. Kittle. Yeah, I wish we could go to Kittle. I wish we went to him more. He's our best player on offense. It's not close through this season. George Kittle has been awesome. Got to go to him more. And shoot, stick with this, Dave. I talked about this yesterday. MJ had a flu game. Debo had a shoe game. Just stood there in his shoes. Oh, man. That's awesome. Not making fun of Debo because he's sick. Sick is terrible. But if you're sick, go to the hospital, man. Don't stand on the sidelines doing what you were doing. Kittle was killing him. Should have had that huge touchdown, just bad pass. Just give me the ball in the box, man. Just give me the damn ball. Ah, and that's sadly, that's who the Niners are. That's what it is. Man, that bothers me considerably. That fourth quarter scoring, red zone scoring, offense, defense, that's losing football, right? Complementary is positive on positive. They work together. Losing is negative on negative. We work against. That's what we do. We suck in the red zone, and other teams, we suck at stopping teams in the red zone. Ah, God, that makes me mad. Now, let's go back to Trent Williams. I don't think Trent Williams is as great as he used to be. He had two penalties. One of them was that penalty, which was should have been ejected. The other guy should have been ejected too, but whatever. Trent Williams, run blocking, 54.9 grade. Like, not good. I mean, he almost had the same run blocking grade as Jake Brindle, who sucks. Who sucks? Jake Brindle is terrible. He's coming off his best game of the season last week. That dude just ends drives. He's a drive killer, man. But I love Trent. I like the fighting. The pass blocking still where it has always been. But I'm sorry, man. Like, Trent is not like I think he's the best left tackle in the NFL? I think there's, yeah, he's in the conversation. Does he still deserve to be all pro? Yeah. Is he all world? Is he a top five NFL type player? Is he the best player in the NFL right now? No, he's not. He's not. Maybe that changes, but let's just be honest. Like, dude, I mean, you look at the plays, you look at the penalties, you could look like there were a lot of plays that we ran behind Trent that did not go well. Did not go well. It was not one game. It's not just one game. Trent's still awesome. I still think he's all pro level, but Trent last year versus Trent this year, nah. He's still great. Still great. And I'm glad, like, I'm still saying, like, I think he's in the conversation for best left tackle in the NFL. And it's not. I mean, we could look at, let me see here. Yeah, this was a really bad game. But last game against Seattle was his lowest. This one, I mean, you can just see. Listen to these, like, overall numbers, right? So he comes out 81.6, good. 81, that's Pro Bowl level. 80s are Pro Bowl, 90s are all pro, okay? Week 2, Minnesota, 76. That's, you know, above average starter. Week 3, 74. Took a step down. Then New England went ham. 83.9. His best game of the year. That was awesome. But still, 83.9 is bad for Trent Williams. Then the following week against Arizona, 83.8. That's really good play. That is Pro Bowl level play. That's really good. But not for Trent. Following week against Seattle, 71.4. Barely above. That's barely above average starter level. That's 55.4. And if we look at, let's look at what he did last year. What was his highest? 83.9. Let's just look at how many games above 83. His best game this year, 83.9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games last year above his best game this year. Never had a game last year with as low a rating as he just had. Did not at any point. So, like, and again, that's just a PFF, like, whatever. And I love Trent. I'm not here to say Trent's bad. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying Trent's not. And I don't think he's our problem. Logan, Trent Williams' problem. I'm not saying that. You, again, hopefully the context is coming through here. I'm saying Trent's not all world like he used to be. I still think he's the best. But it's not what it was. He is a boss. I freaking love Trent. Trent doesn't give the GOAT calls. He does not. Holding, no, it's weird, right? It is very weird. He does not get those calls. Like, there is, it, that is weird. That is weird. So anyway, that's the offense. Now, let's talk about, let's do this. Thomas, shout out to my man, Thomas. He's awesome. he says, John always answers my emails, even if he disagrees with my premise. I love the discussion. I love people that care about their team enough to take time out to email some weirdo to start a discussion and to learn. And I learn through a lot of these questions, comments, and all that stuff. I think we all do. And the problem is, in our society, if we disagree with anything, we always want to fight. Thomas, that's one of the reasons why I appreciate you. We could disagree and freaking still be awesome. Can't wait. Anyway, Thomas, you're the man. All right, here's what Thomas asked in an email. The 49ers are 0-5 when our elite quarterback, top three quarterback, throws two or more interceptions. We're 0-5. When Brock Purdy throws two or more interceptions, we're 0-5. At this point, Jimmy Garoppolo is 5-2 in those same games where he threw two or more interceptions. Did Jimmy's ability to just not care about football and what people thought of him help him in those situations? I freaking love this question. Because, again, when Brock throws multiple interceptions, we lose every time. 0-5. It's a small sample size. I get that. But when Jimmy threw multiple interceptions, it was like, oh, we're still going to win. He went 5-2. That's a big difference. And I think one of the issues with Brock Purdy is this. When Brock Purdy's off, he stays off. There were a lot of great passes mixed in the one to Ayuk that he dropped, the pass to Kyle Juszczyk that was dropped on it was a rail route out of the side. That was perfect. It was dropped. It was great cut. Like, there were some good pass plays, but man, there were a lot of really bad pass plays. 50% completion almost, you know, 3 turnovers. Obviously, those are there. But when Brock starts bad, he stays bad. And that just seems to be what it was. You talk about the game against Baltimore, the Cleveland game last year, this game. Those are, let me just look. I'm going to pull up. And again, not that I believe that passer rating or any of those things are the end-all be-all. I don't. But if we filter, here we go. Let's just go by rating. Ugh. Yeah, his worst game, his lowest passer rating ever out of all of his starts was against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what's crazy? Well, that one, his second lowest game is against the Kansas City Chiefs when he didn't start his very first game that he played. So his first game he played in versus the Chiefs and his last game he's played in, those are the two lowest numbers. He had a 36.7 rating this week. Baltimore, 42.6. Cleveland, 55.3. The Arizona game this year, 62.1. The Minnesota game, is that this year or last year? That's last year. The Minnesota game last year. So if we look at just his starts, let's see here, 2024, the game against Kansas, you had the game against Arizona, and you had the game against New England, and the game against the Jets. Damn. Four of his worst top 10 games are all this year. How much of that is Christian McCaffrey? It's a lot. And, you know, the question, Kyle Shanahan got asked, like, well, does Brock have to elevate now that guys like Ayuk and everybody else is out? Here's what Kyle had to say.
Yeah, Brock elevates himself a lot. I mean, regardless of whether guys are down or up. I mean, Brock's been doing that every game. He had some good plays today, but just overall, him along with all of us on offense, we didn't do well. When you do miss your best players or some of them and they go out with injuries, it makes it harder on everyone. And you hope that you can overcome that with some stuff with some of our other guys like Brock, who is very capable of doing that, but just wasn't his best day.
Wasn't his best day. David says, you know, it's like Brock was seeing double. There were several times where it was just like, whoa, what are you doing right there? What are you doing? Like, I mean, grounded the ball on third down on a slant route, some missed throws, the interceptions. Like, it just wasn't him. And I'm a huge Brock guy. Like, I want Brock to be the quarterback for the next 10 years. I want Brock to get paid. I want him to be a 49ers. Like, I believe in Brock completely. But this year's Brock has not been amazing. It just hasn't. You know, you look at just the overall numbers. 9 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He threw 11 all of last year. That's not good. He had his touchdown rate last year was 7%. He's at 4.2 this year. His first year started 7.6%. The touchdowns are falling. How much of that's Christian McCaffrey? That's a legitimate question. Completion percentage, 63.9. Man, he had 69 last year. Nice. I mean, we dropped a full 6 points there. Yards per attempt, 9.6 last year. Led the NFL. We're at 8.5. That's a full yard less per pass attempt, and we're throwing the ball more. It's rough. Yards per catch down, quarterback rates down, QBR is down, sacks are up, sack percentage is up, net yards per attempt. I mean, every single situation, it's just yikes, 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 yikes. Now, none of those are bad. I mean, we're talking about somebody that has 9 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Look at Patrick Mahomes. That dude's got 6 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, inverse ratio. But is Brock playing all-world football right now? He is not. He's got to figure out what to do. And did his job just get harder without Ayuk? I'm going to say maybe. Here's what Brock's going to say.
Man, obviously just what BA does for our offense and who he is and as a teammate and a brother of ours, man, it's sad. So wishing him nothing but the best and praying for him. So that's my guy. And when he goes down like that, obviously we have other guys that can step up and do their job really well. Ricky, having him back first game, man, was awesome. Just seeing him back out there and making cuts and plays. He's a baller too, so we're really excited for him and for his growth and to bring him with us, man. So we're excited about that. You know, thinking about BA and wishing him nothing but the best too. So we all just got to come together as a group, man, collectively at the receiver unit and all of us. And guys just got to step up, and they have. And so that's the nature of the sport, sadly. So
it sucks, man. Injuries always suck, period. I mean, there's just nothing about that. And so Brock's got to step up. And, you know, there's a big difference. When Brock's bad, Brock stays bad. Now, it's a very small sample size. He's only done it, I think, 3 games that I'm like, ooh, bad kind of start to finish. But even in the Cleveland game last year, shout out to Ayuk, you hit Ayuk on that slant and gave yourself a chance to win the game, then your kicker missed it. So you should have won that game. And so if you could get to the point where you can win these bad games, because bad games are going to happen. Look at freaking Patrick Mahomes. He hadn't had many good games this year, but he just keeps winning. And so if you can get to that stage, now it took Patrick Mahomes, what, 6 years to get to that stage? Brock's in year, what, 2.5? Like, it's a little bit different. Yeah, definitely, anytime you're measuring people against Patrick Mahomes, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a bad time. So anyway, now, again, for depending on how you feel about the 49ers, like I said, over on my bookie, they're still the favorites to win the NFC West. They are plus 131. So if you bet $10 for the NFC West division, you get $13 back. The Seattle Seahawks plus 270. So we still are the favorites. But if you're going to bet, and if you have been betting or haven't been, here's how you do it.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS49ers or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out. Trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, let's switch over to the opposing side of the ball. Defense. Our defense isn't bad, per se. It's not good either. It's really, really difficult to find areas where it's like, oh, we're really good at this. Points allowed, we're 16th. That's average. Yards allowed, 14th. Slightly above average. First downs, 12th. Not good. Passing yards, 16th. Yards per pass attempt, 18th. Rush yards, 12th. Rushing touchdowns, 24th. Yikes. Again, back to that not showing up in the red zone. Yards per rush attempt, 14th. We are an average defense at best. You go to third downs, we're 28th. We're bottom five. You go to fourth downs, we're 18th. Go to the red zone, 23rd. This defense, like, and it's crazy saying that coming off one of their better games. You forced all these turnovers. You gave up no touchdown passes to Patrick Mahomes. But at the end of the day, they scored more points against you, 28, than they have in 30 starts. 30 starts. Nick Sorensen ain't the answer. I'm not saying fire him. Nick Sorensen ain't the answer. I don't know what changes need to be made over there. But, I mean, shoot, if you're not firing Brian Schneider, Nick Sorensen's 100% job security for the rest of his life. Now, we look at the players individually, which wasn't great. No player ranked higher than a 72 grade. We just went through it on Trent. A 70 average is above average starter. Nick Bosa was number one with a 72 grade. That's a low grade. Not good. 56 out of 70 snaps. He had 5 pressures, 1 sack, 2 quarterback hits, no missed tackles. Two solo stops. Bosa was good. Charvarius Ward, 69.7. We're not even at above average defensive performance. That's just replacement starter level 60s. That's what that is. Our second best player, Charvarius Ward. Ugh. Not great. Robert Beale Jr., third. Fred Warner, fourth. Yottam, fifth. He played three plays. No, he played six. D. Winner, sixth. Renardo Green, seven. Demo, eight. You go to the bottom. Jair Brown continues just to suck. He's not very good at football this year. Consistently just in bad places. He's not very good. Not very good. Kevin Givens. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a bad game for him against one of the best defensive interior or offensive line interiors, their guard center, guard combo. Sam O, the guy I love, played 37 snaps. Not great. 43 grade. Jordan Elliott, Leonard Floyd, Malik Mustafa. Who Malik Mustafa is like one of the bright spots, right? Dude had three missed tackles. Three. And got ran over by Mahomes at the goal line. Ah. Sam O missed tackle. D. Winners missed tackle. Jordan Elliott missed tackle. Demo missed tackle. Fred Warner missed tackle. Leonard Floyd missed tackle. That's nine. I talked all week. Tackling's the most important ever in this game. And you heard the coaches talk about it too. Still couldn't do it. Right here, David. How Evan Anderson isn't getting snaps is national. There's so many personnel decisions that suck. We can talk scheme, whatever else. Why is Ronnie Bell playing? Why did Jacob Cowan get 12 snaps? Why is Evan Anderson on a damn practice squad? He's your highest rated defender of the year. Passes the eye test in the run and the pass. He has the highest run grade. He has the highest pass rush grade. And we're not even suiting this dude up. We're not even suiting him up. Personnel decisions, man. And still got, you go to special teams. Let's talk special teams. That huge punt return. Matt Barrows put out a picture. Three defenders fell down. Demetrius Fletcher get fouls. Shocker. Tatum Bethune. Shocker. If you've been watching our breakdowns over at the 40yardsrush.com, I've been saying consistently, Tatum Bethune does not need to be out there on kickoff return or punt or on kickoff or punt. He cannot block anybody ever. Falling down. Can't tackle anybody. He's tough as hell, but that's just, he's not a player in space. Why are we putting him in space? Why? Why? It's so like, it's not like whenever you constantly keep getting beat and losing because of the same guys over and over and over again. Offense, Ronnie Bell, Jake Brindle. Come on, man. Really? Really? Colton McKivitz, you want to throw him in there? That's cool. Defensively. Now, you did make the switch this week with D. Winners and Campbell. That was important, right? So I credit that. You look at D. Winners. He played 38 snaps, and then you had Devondre Campbell played 50 out of 70, so they switched in the second half. Campbell still played more. D. Winners was the better player, not even close. Even just from every analytical standpoint, he had a higher overall grade. He had a higher run defense grade. Campbell had a better tackling grade. D. Winners is better. But, like, the personnel choices are just like, why? Why would you do that? I do like Renardo Green getting starter-level snaps. Even though I didn't think Yottam was a problem, I think Yottam's better than Charvarius Ward. But, like, I'm cool with that. Get Renardo out there. Get him out there. Get him out there. Aaron, Collins had the Falcon punch to the throat, which is worth a plus two on the play. I agree. One of the interceptions, Collins, like, it didn't look like he was trying to hit him in the throat. Patrick Mahomes was, you know, being an actor or whatever else, but it looked like Darth Vader, like, picked him up by the throat. I loved it. I'm the type of person that would have clocked Mahomes as hard as I possibly can. I'm not the coach that would tell somebody to do that, but I am the fan that would say, I wish somebody just would have laid Mahomes out. I don't know. Not being dirty, but man, I'm letting them know, like, look, dude, you coming in here, you beat us four times, now five times in a row, there's a toll to be paid. Sorry, you're going to laugh at us, you're going to run over our safety in the end zone. Ugh, yeah, there's some rough ones. Right here, Moon Man, man, John, this O-line is so damn bad. The reason we lost the Super Bowl, Kyle and Purdy were so awful. O-line was bad. Now, pressure-wise, pass protection-wise, I thought they did really, really well. We look at, you know, pass blocking, no sacks. The one sack was on Purdy. Quarterback hits. Got four of those. Jake Brindle gave up one. McKivitz won. Jalen Moore won. Jordan Mason won. I didn't see that Jordan Mason quarterback hit. Man, it must be in the second half. Pressures were low. They only had eight. I mean, you flipped the script. Yeah, it was bad. A lot of missed blocks in the run game. That was, ugh, ugh. Roberto replaced the center. Thank you. Arid. Oh, we got some more basketball talk. Let's do this. It's just an observation. LeBron Jordan said to get calls because they're the all-time greats. Trent doesn't. Didn't lose games because of the refs. It was an excuse, but an observation. Yes, Aaron. Incredible. You didn't lose the games because of the refs this game, but they sure as hell didn't make it easy on us. Can't call holds on just one team. All five teams times you have played the Chiefs, they don't call the other team for holding. They don't do it. Just us. Five times. You didn't lose because of the refs. Definitely didn't make it any easier. Ah. Tomorrow, I'm excited. We're going to have Wayne on here. We're going to have some fun conversations. There's still a lot of positives. And if you're going to the 49ers game, they've got the Cowboys bye week, then at Bucks. Man, that Bucks game is going to be incredible. We're going to be out there with Frank Gore, the legend himself, at the Brick House Tavern Saturday, November 9th from 2 to 8 p.m. If you're going to the 49ers official invasion, their party ends at 2, and we're two blocks away. We changed our location so that we could be by them, so that we're not pulling fans in different directions and different times, all that stuff, all about the community all the time. So if you want to join us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets. It is a ticketed event. We have to pay to rent these places out. We have to pay to get legends like the Hall of Famer Frank Gore, all that stuff. Meet and greet, autographs, all that stuff's up for sale till we run out of numbers. And then for our tailgate, we're going to be one block from the stadium. We rented out an entire lot so that we could do our thing. It's going to be a blast. That's going to be on the 10th, one block east of the stadium. Going to be a blast. Go get your tickets now. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. The map, the directions, the times. Kids always free. And I say this all the time, and people take me up on it, and I appreciate it. Don't ever let money be an issue not to come to one of these events. Yeah, we got to charge money. And people get mad at us sometimes. I don't know why. Nobody got mad at me whenever I lost thousands of dollars the first handful of events I did. It took a while to build the platform up. But if money is an issue, yeah, we got to charge. This is not cheap to fly an entire team across the country and do all the stuff that we do. Email me. John, hey, you ain't got to go into your situation. Money's kind of tight. Really want to come out. What can I do? We'll put you to work, and we'll get you involved, and we'll get you part of the team. Money is not why we do these things. That's not what we do. Community, that's why we do these things. And I would hate for somebody to miss an opportunity. Kids get in free to every event we've ever done. I've lost business partners over that. But anyway, just reach out. 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. Don't ever allow money to be a reason why we can't get together and experience these wonderful things together. That's what it is. We do this for community. We do this for each other. We do this for just establishing the fan base of the future. So I appreciate you guys. This is episode 1244. Some episodes are harder to start than others. This was one. It's going to be a rough week, but we got those damn Cowboys this week. That's going to make it all better. Ugh. Nothing better in the world than 49ers beating the Cowboys. We just got to go get it done. Really appreciate everybody. Thank you so much. And as always, stay strong, faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.